Some of my friends would let the lamb grow wild and woolly on the pampas and bleat in tongues with no help against briars or coyotes or wolves. Some of my Presbyterian friends would eat it, cabrito, like a goat. My Quaker friends would save the lamb for its wool, while my Southern Baptist friends would breed the lamb to death, making new sheep. But most of us would keep it a toy for kitchen and garden, to show our friends passing through how much we love the lamb. All of us would like for the Lamb of God to be a reflection of our values. Yet deeply do we not really know we cannot really shape the Lamb of God. I left home 3 hours late in a snowstorm, having missed 3 connections. I hired a pickup truck in Spartanburg to catch the Carolina Special on a siding in what had become a blizzard. Next day was bright and sunny, but we were bogged down in 18 inches of snow at Lexington. And already a dozen hours late, I hired one airplane, caught another at Louisville, and arrived just in time for dinner before church in Chicago. It was a charming setting. Sumptuous viands with finger bowls, and then the mahogany art museum of a private club with guests. One was Big Bonds, and number 2 was Big Machinery, and 3 was Big Butcher of Hogs, and 1 was a liberal with the best wine cellar. The 2nd was a fundamentalist and trustee to a big university, and the 3rd was a kind of a general Protestant blacksmith. Church, I discovered, was performed in an old opera house with box holders, no less. After spirituals by a visiting black choir, and Brahms by an ensemble of joyous professionals, there was a personal testimony by a big oil company executive with the title, The Management Ideal. And then Pièce de Résistance, the president of a big railroad company, introduced me to feed the lamb to a street-level crowd of sinners and seminarians and Christians before a 250,000 TV watchers, it said on the program. Before me, and in me, I guess, there was every jaundiced class ideal, every hungover social pleasure, every cultic crime, including a human sacrifice, me, and every agonized need. 3 letters later thanked me for my gospel, and 1 wanted to borrow some money. Reeling out of that one what you won't do for a fee, I made a connection, slept the night, awoke next day in South Georgia. Snow all gone. Out the diner window, wild fields and pine forests and streams with fish and coon hides hanging on the porches of the little houses. There was timber and cattle and turpentine and pulpwood and landowners and sharecroppers. And in the middle of the morning, I got up to feed the lamb again, before the volunteer attendants from a state school, where nearly half of the faculty had properly voted to keep me out. And the president for 40 years had been taught by the controller for 40 years that I was likely subversive and shouldn't be there anyhow. And my assignment was to mingle 3 days with some extremely apt and handsome white kids who had never in all their lives been 30 miles from home or 20 minutes into the New Testament or more than a mile from a Baptist or a Methodist church or within 1,000 miles of any issue that mattered to a kingdom that matters. And the most significant action of the week, a 69-year-old black man hanged himself from a limb so low he could have stood up any second he wished to remain alive in his world of coon hides and collard greens and fatback and lakes and trees and birds and sun. And his act drew 5 lines in the local paper. Who is tampering with the soul of the lamb? We all are. And if I tamper too, I do not know. And if I knew, and if you let me tell you, it would be a shaping of the lamb. We have to find what gospel is together. But uniformly in scripture, in the experience of the early communities, the lamb is the symbol for what God is doing in the world. He is a symbol of the kind of life offering acceptable to God. He is the character God expects. He is God's victory in the world. And our attempts to shape this mean we wish God to do something else in another way. We wish another kind of character or victory. We want God to enjoy our kind of victory. The hammer and the anvil are the tools we use to work on the lamb. And this is totally incongruous. Lambs are not shod like horses. Nothing one does for lambs requires a hammer or an anvil or a smithy. The hammer, the tensions that make mankind, the anvil, the culture man has lived on, these God will bless with a lamb, and there really is a great difference between helping and blessing. Most of us can help. Many never learn that we could also bless. This wholeness, this human wholeness, one comes on in Jesus, the crucified, who is the Christ. Proper proclamation has this lamb and ourselves as subject and subject, but the object is the work of submitting to, receiving, living with this that God is doing. It's the work of the whole community then to release the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to feed the hungry, care for the split, heal the wounds, deliver the bound. But only a people who can stand to look critically at its way of life can see the distortions committed on the lamb. Only such as can submit to the correction of their images of self and society can come into a comprehension of what Frederick Herzog has aptly called liberation theology. The only Christian education I know about that would retemper the mortar of our time then would force us to look with candor at our value structures. What kind of people are we? We would have to look at our folkways, for the pressures that shape the lamb come from all our centers of value. The way we serve our value is the way we deny the gospel. And these are always folkways and are the subjects with which every history of every society would have to deal. Christian curriculum then would begin with the answering heads under which we would discuss our real value. Under every word we'd use to answer what kind are we, set over against the best we know of manhood, the Lamb of God, would mean that Christian education now must face our fantasies. This is where we are. The goal is to put temper, Christian temper, in the mortar. Temper is lime. It heats and stirs, ferments and boils, and turns mud into mortar for 1,000 years. This is where we are, and I'm frank to say it raises hell in any local parish. But there is no renewal that can come to church that does not rise in the local parish. Temper for the mortar is a Christian education of adults that would begin where we really are and would look like this: an exposure of our folkways, an opening of our nerve ends, an understanding of our values, a confession of our fantasies. In all our regions, the principal myth systems are these, and this would be Christian curriculum each of which would bring us to a confrontation with the Lamb if we opened the myths. The myth about my race, its purity, its superiority, its claim to divine sanction, its genetic traits, its stereotypes, and the falsities of each of these, we'd have to ask, from whom am I really descended, and in what species do I really participate, and how lately were my folks cannibals? We'd have to open the myth about my class, its values and treasures, its canons of taste, the real fears that make it exclusive, its shallowness and falsities, and its short-lived sustenance. We'd have to open the myth about my region, my own, my native land, the crassness of my idealisms and judgments, my false histories, and my fantasies of origin. I'd have to open the myth about the nation and the state and national interests and the impossibility of a national history. There's no such thing. The vanity of our sources, the falsity of most slogans, and the true nature of a real patria. We'd have to open the myth about economics. Now all our systems cover the greed and acquisitiveness that made jungle survival possible. We'd have to talk about work and property and money. And we'd have to open the myth about my sex, its strength, its superiority, its permeableness, the difference between sexualis and sex act, and all of its perversions as simply being answers some smothering child has discovered. I'd have to open the myths about family, including its real character and its love-hate ambivalence and the distortions of parenthood and the tenuousness of relation. And I'd have to open all that bag of myths about religion, its falsities of language, its claims to superiority, its offers of security, and its sources of revelation. Over against all these stand the Lamb of God, who is not without witness by whatever name in every clime and time. And who has done this? Who has done this? The power of the ancient church, as reflected in its patristics, was just this. They were able to transcend, to use dear Richard Niebuhr's word, not to stand over against necessarily, not just to convert. They were able to transcend Romanitas, the Roman culture that surrounded them. They were able to transcend it, or we would never have heard of them or the gospel. As Justin Martyr put it circa 160 to Pius the Emperor, before we became Christians, we took pleasure in debauchery, now we rejoice in purity of heart. We used to practice magic and sorcery, now we are dedicated to the unbegotten God. We used to value money and possessions, now we bring all that we have and share it. Once we hated and killed, and because of a difference in nation or custom, we excluded strangers from our gates. But now, since the coming of Christ, we live in peace. We pray for our enemies. We seek those who hate us in order that by living according to the precepts of Christ, they may partake with us in this same joyful hope. As arriving, striving quest by literate churches to find how to live and work in the world. No renewal can come to church that does not rise in the local parish. But there is no way the local parish can get on with its work till it can stand to look at its myths. And there is no salvation worthy of the name that will not sooner or later. There is no salvation that does not sooner or later come to the spinal cord of redemption, which is the opening up of all my value systems to correction by the Lamb. Sex, race, region, religion, economic, play, family, sociology, It can't save us. No, but it can open doors. And everywhere we have a treasure, we have a salvation in prospect. Mission in the world is still to make persons in behalf of a kingdom that has come, is coming, and will come. Persons that matter. All the idols that prohibit this are subject to investigation. That would be the Christian education of adults. We haven't got time to wait for the kids to see this.
Disturbance that sends us forth to serve thee in the service of thy children. And let thy blessing rest upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord.